I will work with Congress to ensure that human embryos are not created for experimentation or grown for body parts, and that human life is never bought or sold as a commodity.
President George W. Bush last night during the State of the Union laying down one of his pledges regarding, well, he didn't say stem cell research. That's another thing he did not say, but he did talk about human embryos, body parts that could be understood as stem cells. Do you expect him to strike while the iron is hot there? He gets applause. He's able to lay that out in the State of the Union address. And yet at the same time, we have California that is moving toward exactly the kind of research and funding exactly the kind of research that he says he's against. Well, the only answer to that is something federal. Do you expect him to take any action or push for any action to counter what's going on in California with embryonic stem cell research in the next 4 years? For that matter, what do you expect of the president? Do you feel like he owes the religious right, Christians, however you want to put this, anything? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What about gay marriage? This is the thing that he wants, the constitutional amendment to define marriage as a man and a woman. Good. Many would say now is the time to strike while the iron is hot. Let this issue grow cold and, well, maybe the public might migrate on this issue. So now is the time to take action. When the public, it appears at least on the basis of the November elections, it's played a large role in voter turnout in November 2004. And we wouldn't want the president to wait too long. What if he does? Will you be disappointed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your general reaction to the president's State of the Union address, your expectations for the next 4 years, especially given the way he kind of clearly laid out the general ideas of what he's looking for in the next 4 years. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, according to Karen Temelty's story in Time magazine, the religious right does believe the president owes them something, and they have three things. They have gay marriage, they have abortion, and then they have the one that kind of encompasses both of them. James Dobson says this is top of the list, and that is judicial nominations. Is that on your list? Is that your list? Is there something you would add? It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Jerry is calling from South County. Jerry, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi, Todd. You know, it looks like President Bush is a proactive president. We're pretty much assured of that. We just heard that Congress had approved his nomination for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Gonzalez is, in my opinion, he's pro-Mexico. He's affiliated with American-Mexican group that is affiliated with La Raza, and they are not a pro-American group, La Raza, but he is affiliated with them through this other American-Mexican group. Looks like to me, Todd, whatever he does is what we have to go by. I think the Christian right should just kind of keep nipping at his heels and trying to...
Let's put it this way, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Let's see if you have an answer for this. What is the one thing that if we get to the end of 4 years and nothing's happened on it or the president hasn't at least gone to the mat for it, you will be disappointed? What's the one thing if you could narrow it down to one thing?
Okay, I think the abortion issue ought to be taken care of. I think the gay marriage ban should be done, totally done. You know, we should have a ban on gay marriage because it's anti-biblical and it's anti- everything, even anti-animal, I understand. But the thing is, I think the amnesty problem has to be handled. And I can't think of anything right now, you know, else that I could think of. But I think we just have to watch, keep nipping at his heels, the Christian right, and watch what he does.
Jerry, thank you for the call. All right. What about the rest of you? Give me a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I know that I think there's been a bit of a compromise on the whole Alberto Gonzalez thing. Now, it's not huge, but we mentioned it before, and I hope it doesn't come back to bite us in the backside, and that is that Alberto Gonzalez, when he was on the Texas Supreme Court, was very critical of a fellow justice on the issue of parental notification. He voted against parental notification, in effect, in one of his decisions on the Texas Supreme Court. And this has raised the question of, well, where does this guy stand when it comes to life? And you say, oh, come on, he's just going to be attorney general. Well, it was the previous attorney general that took the lead in the whole federal code on restricted substances to call into question the policy in Oregon for physician-assisted suicide, John Ashcroft. A very clever way of approaching physician-assisted suicide over on the West Coast. He said, look, there are controlled substances that are the realm of the federal laws, and we cannot have these doctors engaging in these activities with controlled substances in order to bring about the death of their patients. Very clever. Now, see, that's a life issue, isn't it? And he's just attorney general. So it does matter, or at least it could potentially matter, what the attorney general's view on life is. Not to mention the fact that attorney general could be stepping stone to Supreme Court justice, don't you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
The gathering of about 4,000 people in Washington, D.C. every year in the spirit of Jesus as we pray and we celebrate faith, and we hear from speakers who tell, in many cases, about their own faith journey, and it's always been a remarkable morning of celebration and sharing of a common belief in a divine being.
That was Senator Rick Santorum, of course, of Pennsylvania, talking about this morning's National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. I've never been to one of these, but he mentioned a couple things that got me listening. They gather in the name of, in the spirit of Jesus. That's pretty explicit. Gather in the spirit of Jesus to talk about their faith, and then it kind of got a little fuzzier toward the end, didn't it? Then to kind of commonly affirm our belief in a divine being. That's pretty fuzzy, because just about anybody could affirm a belief in a divine being. Now, I've never been to a prayer breakfast, one of the public prayer breakfasts, like the mayor's prayer breakfast. I imagine governors have these things, too. 4,000 people in Washington, D.C. gathered for some breakfast. I've never been to one. I want to hear from anyone who has attended one of these. Are these explicitly Christian? Or is it kind of interfaith, interreligious? Give me a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. For some, this is one of the highlights of the whole year. Along with the National Day of Prayer, the prayer breakfast is a big deal. There are people who travel from around the country to go to the one in Washington, D.C. And local prayer breakfasts, of course, also attract a great, not only a great deal of attention, but also attendees. Are they explicitly Christian? Santorum says there in Washington, D.C., 4,000 gather in the spirit of Jesus. Senator Santorum also says that President Bush has made time for the National Prayer Breakfast.
It is something that is sustaining to him and to previous presidents. We pray for our president, we pray for our leaders, and it's an important time for leaders of not just this country, but they're usually heads of states from other countries around the world, as well as other dignitaries from around the world, and it's an opportunity to bond together under the one God.
Okay, so explain this to me at the local level when you got the mayor's prayer breakfast. Is that what this is about? Is it gathering to kind of mutually pray for the government and those who govern us? How do these things work? I've been to a men's, I take it back, I've been to one prayer breakfast, but it was not a community thing. It was a church thing. And there were many different churches represented there, Christian churches. I don't think there were any big politicians. But we gathered more to pray for the general needs of the church, the world. Government was included, of course. I don't know if it was typical, was it? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Senator Brownback of Kansas says that speakers at the breakfast include President Bush and an Ohio congressman.
Tony Hall works with the World Food Program in Rome. Former member of Congress, deep man of faith, has traveled to many of the most troubled regions of the world and has a real faith in action story to tell to policymakers.
Now, the word faith comes up a lot here, but one wonders what faith we're talking about. You see, there's faith, and then there's the faith. Christians are pretty picky at least they ought to be pretty picky about the definition of that word. Is this faith the way Billy Joel sings about faith? I mean, he sings about faith. Gotta have faith. While he drives his car into someone's front yard. Gotta have faith. Is it just faith in general, hope for the future? The way we hear, well, you'll hear it Super Bowl Sunday, won't you? In the pregame interviews with the, where I've got faith. Faith in what? Faith in my team's ability to knock the snot out of the other team and to win. That is a different kind of faith, isn't it, than the faith that Christians talk about. So the word comes up, and what I'm wondering is, what faith is at work at these community prayer breakfasts? Surely we've had some listeners who have attended one of these prayer breakfasts. I'd really like your story and to hear from you. See, this is where I'm coming from. I'm thinking, if I'm a politician, which I have no intention of ever being, but if I'm a politician and I'm a Christian and I go to one of these prayer breakfasts, let's say I'm a member of Congress and I go to the one in Washington, D.C. Well, now this is going to be a pretty diverse group of people. Every time Washington does anything religious, it gets real diverse real fast. You will remember the sermon we played from the National Cathedral on the occasion of the inauguration. And in that service, while there was a Methodist minister preaching from Highland Park, Texas. Remember I rated that worst sermon ever reviewed on issues, etc. During that service, though, it wasn't just a Christian thing. There were Buddhists there. There were Jewish rabbis. And I think there was a Muslim imam as well. And they all participated and presided in the same service. You see, when Washington does faith, it does faith in the broadest possible sense. If I'm a Christian politician, I'm thinking to myself, do I even want to go to something like that? No, I'm not going to get cooties. That's not what I'm worried about. It's about compromising the faith in the name of whatever the faith that's going on at one of these things is. Now, these prayer breakfasts may or may not fit the bill. I don't know. That's what I want to know from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or is that the best we can hope for when we're in the public square? You know, he's got faith in Allah. And I know I think that's, maybe it is different from the God I worship. I don't know. But for the, you know, this is a community thing. And this is more about sitting down and eating breakfast. And this is more about talking about our nation and people gathering in support of our leaders that we've elected. And so, while this guy may worship Allah and this guy over here, I don't know who he's worshiping. We sit down and we pray together. And for a moment, a brief shining moment, we're more American than we are Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Buddhist or anything else. We're Americans. And that's what unites us in prayer. The fact that we're all Americans. In spite of the fact that we're not all Christians or Muslims or Buddhists or Jews. We're not necessarily united by a common God, or maybe we are. See, these are the kind of ambiguous questions that come up at events like this that I'm curious about. Now, I know that perhaps in many a small town, the community prayer breakfast, the mayor's prayer breakfast, is probably going to be, you know, the pastors from all the local Christian churches. And the biggest difference you may have is between a Baptist and a Roman Catholic. But I was looking at a map the other day of the number of mosques and their distribution throughout the United States. And you can go right into the heartland. You can go right into the Midwest and find cities like Wichita that have 5 or 6 mosques. And when you have a Wichita mayor's prayer breakfast, chances are you're going to have a Muslim show up. Senator Brownback says that the president's speech at the national prayer breakfast isn't like last night's State of the Union speech.
This is really an event where people expect to hear your heart. And too often, particularly in politics, people don't see the heart. They see a policy position, they hear a discussion on Social Security or military issues, but a lot of times people, they really want to know what's in your heart. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What things have really struck you that have shaped your soul?
You know, I have a lot of respect for Senator Brownback. He's been a guest on this program. But this just sounds, I'm sorry. What's in your heart? Well, blood. What's in your heart? Cholesterol? What's it? I mean, no, you know what I'm talking about. What's in your heart? What's the core of your being? Well, I don't know. Jesus says out of the heart proceeds everything that's wrong with the world and wrong with me. He has a whole laundry list of things that come out of the heart that defile a man and make a lot of trouble for other people, too. So someone says, share your heart with me. I'm more likely to say, if I'm listening to what Jesus says my heart's all about, I'm more likely to say, believe me, you don't want me sharing my heart with you. There's kind of a flowery romanticism to show us your heart. What the heck does that mean? I know what they hope it means, but, you know, you press them on a definition. Senator Brownback, what do you mean, show us your heart? What you feel, what you think, what struck you? Okay. And he's trying to make a distinction between the president's policy positions and his personal beliefs and his core values. Let's just say that. Just see this language kind of, well, I don't know. Maybe it's a pet peeve of mine. If you say the president's going to talk about his core values, fine. Say the president's going to talk about his core values. What's he going to stand there and blubber in front of us? He's going to stand there and say, this is how I feel. I feel like I'm being nuzzled by a warm kitten, or I feel cold and clammy. No, we don't want to know that from the president, but we want to have something definite from him. Is that what these prayer breakfasts are about? Getting together and sharing our feelings. Is that what passes for prayer or religion? Am I painting? I know I'm going to get an email from somebody, perhaps a couple somebodies, when the program is over today saying, now you just don't know what you're talking about. You've never been to one of these prayer breakfasts, and you made it sound like it was something that it isn't. So correct me now, and you won't have to email me later. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I mean, tell me what it is like. Is it explicitly Christian? If it isn't, what's the faith they're talking about there? What God is being prayed to? Do they do the Muslim worship? Does he pray to Allah? And then they kind of have a little interlude and eat crackers to cleanse their palate. And then the Christian prays to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then they take a little interlude and maybe have a little bit of orange juice to cleanse the palate. And then they go on to allow the Buddhist to pray to whatever. I'm just asking. Senator Brownback says that he hopes Americans will pray for their leaders.
We need wisdom. We need humility. This country really dominates like no country has in the history of mankind. And too much is given, much is required. We need a lot of prayer, and we as leaders need to pray for that wisdom and humility.
All right. He's coming from the perspective, I think, without a doubt, Brownback is a professing Christian. If I'm not mistaken, he's Roman Catholic. No? Methodist. President's religion. Okay, this is how it sounds to me. And please correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds to me like the one thing, the one common good, and it's an unqualified good, it can't be bad, prayer. Could a Satanist go in and pray to Satan at a prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C.? And the politicians say, well, you know, I know you're praying to the Prince of Darkness, but we still need your prayers. We need wisdom. And if the Prince of Darkness can deliver, then fine and good. You just pray to whomever you want to. I mean, it's all prayer, regardless of who's praying and regardless of to whom they pray, an unqualified good. If your mother was sick in the hospital, and the local imam happened to be walking by the room and noticed you in there, and you happened to be of some acquaintance, and he said, oh, I'll put in a good word for your mother with Allah. I will pray for your mother to Allah, to my God. Do you want a Muslim? Oh, I guess it can't hurt. Really? It may not hurt your mom, but what about that man's soul who's praying to a false god? I mean, listen to the terms, and maybe if we don't have anyone who's even been to one of these breakfasts, apparently, listen to the terms that now occupy the vocabulary of American civil religion. God, faith, power, Those are all the terms that are in. Prayer is one that's really in. What's out? When God, faith, and power are the words that are now commonly used in American civil religion, what terms are out? Jesus? The Christ? Savior? The cross? Lots of terms get left out for the more generic, easily accepted, palatable terms like God, faith, and power. Oh, wisdom, we could toss one in there too. What the term prayer is in, obviously. It's apparently an unqualified good, regardless who is praying, to whom, for what. So what terms are out in American civil religion? God's Word, the Bible, definitely the sacraments. And so far, at least it sounds to me like something very, very fuzzy. I would think that we could get more specific than this. I don't think you would hear an American, a Christian politician saying, you know what we need? We need Americans eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. No, but he will say, we need every American, regardless of their race, creed, color, orientation, praying for us. I don't know if I'm a Christian politician whether I really want the Satanists praying for me. The Wiccan praying for me. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Paul calls from New Melle. Paul, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I can't speak to the present situation. But in the past, in the military, from time to time, I was expected to be at a location, but I would not participate. I, you know, followed a lawful order and, you know, from my commander to be at a location, which would be called, you know, prayer breakfast. But, more often than not, I, just sat there or stood there but did not participate in what I do not believe as a Lutheran Christian.
Paul, thank you. Now, see, I understand that scenario. He's under orders to appear, to be there, to be present. And you can be present without participating. Happens all the time. You can be present without participating. Now, I doubt that's what's happening at most of these prayer breakfasts, either the national prayer breakfasts or otherwise. The emphasis is on participation. So you go to one of these things, and you might want to ask yourself just a few simple questions. I mean, you would if you went anyplace else. Why are you there? What are you doing? What God is being referenced here? Or does it even matter? I mean, is it too much to ask, I guess is what I'm wondering. Is it too much to ask that Christians, when they hear the word faith, seek a definition beyond just, well, whatever you mean is fine with me? Or maybe you're saying at this point, come on, it's just prayer. It's just prayer. It's not that big of a deal. God doesn't care. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What's the relationship between the Oprah Winfrey Show and Pop American Christianity? How have psychology, emotionalism, and feminism left the church unmanned? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal titled Church is for Girls. And you can get a free complimentary copy of the Next Issues Etc. journal by calling our resource line 1-800-737-0172. Plus, Pastor Tim Pauls has written an article titled The Problem of Pietism. Should subjective feelings trump objective truth? Find out with the Next Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Vicar Stephen Parks came to a Christ-centered understanding of baptism and the Lord's Supper. 1-800-737-0172. If you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. 1-800-737-0172.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer.
In his State of the Union address, President George Bush took a bold stand on a number of issues of prime importance to the family, from the protection of marriage to the sanctity of life. Pro-family groups are calling it one of his best speeches. Here's Stuart Shepard.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Speaking before members of the House and Senate, President Bush called marriage a sacred institution, the foundation of society, and said it should not be redefined by activist judges.
For the good of families, children, and society, I support a constitutional amendment to protect the institution of marriage.
That kind of strong language led Focus on the Family Vice President Tom Minnery to call it a magnificent, powerful, and moving speech.
He was more strongly assertive here than he has been about marriage during many of his campaign speeches, and we especially appreciated that.
The president also decried judges who legislate from the bench and called for swift Senate action.
Every judicial nominee deserves an up or down vote.
And it was certainly noticeable that half the chamber did not leap to their feet.
Gary Bauer with the Campaign for Working Families calls the obstruction by Democrats a constitutional coup that is practically unprecedented.
But it shows how desperate the far left is in trying to keep control of our courts.
President Bush also reaffirmed his support for a culture of life, saying he would work with Congress to ensure that human embryos are not created for experimentation or grown for body parts. For Family News in Focus, I'm Stuart Shepard.
Family News in Focus is an information and analysis feature of Focus on the Family. You can find our stories on the web at familynewsinfocus.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bob Dittmer.
God's great act of grace is the greatest story ever told. His story is a message which needs to be told and retold. For that story is the way by which God gives sinful humankind forgiveness and salvation.
Hear Pastor Ken Klaus this week on the Lutheran Hour.
Sunday at noon on AM 850 KFUO.
Israel's conquest of the Holy Land comes alive in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this commentary on our website, issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Joshua, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February.
Gathering about 4,000 people in Washington, D.C. every year in the spirit of Jesus as we pray and we celebrate faith, and we hear from speakers who tell, in many cases, about their own faith journey, and it's always been a remarkable morning of celebration and sharing of a common belief in a divine being.
That's Rick Santorum talking about yesterday's National Prayer Breakfast. Pray. Celebrate faith, a common belief in a divine being, talk about our faith journeys. Now, I don't know why this case is so hard to make, but I guess it is. I don't know why it is. But let me see if I can impress this as carefully as I can. It's been years now that I've been struggling with this, that when Christians hear words like faith, they, unless it's this person standing there who says it, has horns and is carrying a pitchfork, they generally assume that the person's talking about the Christian faith. Oh, how can faith be bad? It must be good. When they hear the word prayer, they assume, oh, they must be talking about praying to the God I pray to. Unless, of course, the person saying it has horns and a pitchfork. You know, Rick Santorum does not have horns and a pitchfork. But what do these words mean in the context of the National Prayer Breakfast? Prayer, celebrating faith. What faith? Talking about our faith journeys, affirming a common belief in a divine being. Now, one might argue the term divine being is even more general than the term God. He said, gathered in the spirit of Jesus. That was the one specific thing there. But one must wonder, unless it was an exclusively Christian gathering, was it really in the spirit of Jesus? I mean, everyone involved. Was it in the spirit of Jesus? Or is it a majority thing? If you go to the mayor's prayer breakfast in Dearborn, Michigan, and most of the people there are Muslims because they have a high Muslim population, then they're gathered in the spirit of Allah. But if you can get enough Christians there to kind of outnumber the Muslims, then it becomes the spirit of Jesus thing. Is that how it works? My wife's name is Maria. If I hear someone in the airport as I'm walking through, talking on a cell phone, saying, "Hello, is this Maria?" I don't assume they're talking to my wife. You know why? I know there are other Marias out there in the world, and this guy, I don't know who he is, probably not talking to my wife, right? I call my wife when I talk to her on the phone or in person. I call her honey. So I'm walking through the airport a little bit further, and there's another guy talking on his cell phone. I hear him saying, "Honey, when I get home, I'll take care of that." It would be rather naive of me to stop and say, "Hey, what are you doing calling my wife honey?" I call her honey. No, I would assume that because there are many honeys out there, he's probably talking to a different honey than my honey, right? So why is it that as Christians we are, I think, sometimes willingly, intentionally naive when we hear politicians talk about faith, God, faith journey, prayer? We simply assume the best. Now, I'm not saying we should be always assume the worst, but shouldn't we at least ask a few intervening questions? Shouldn't we at least wonder, well, prayer must be an unqualified good in society, regardless of to whom the person is praying. Is it good that the Muslim prays to a false god for him? No. Talking about the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C., and I'm wondering, are these things, is there anything explicitly Christian about gatherings like this? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. President Bush delivered his State of the Union last night. What was your general reaction to the president's, did anything stand out to you? Now, when we talked with Karen Tumulty, she said that moment of theater, that moment of drama, where the two women embraced up in the president's box, the mother of a slain soldier, the daughter of the slain Iraqi leader, embracing. Now, that's obviously a spectacular moment, but what in the president's speech stood out to you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. He mentioned experimentation on human embryos. He mentioned an amendment to define marriage as a man and a woman. He talked about several things that are important to Christians. Time Magazine asks the question. We talked with Karen Tumulty about it, co-author of the story in the latest Time Magazine. Does Bush owe the religious right anything? Do you have an answer for that question? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your expectations for the next 4 years. What do you expect the president to go to the mat for? We cannot expect our presidents, we cannot demand that they have results, but we can demand that they put forth an effort, right? So what is your list of demands, if any? We had a caller earlier said, no, we just got to watch what he does and keep nipping at his heels. Is that the best we can expect? What will he go to the mat over? And if he doesn't go to the mat for it, what is that issue that you'll be disappointed about if the president doesn't fight for it? At least fight for it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. Nancy's calling from her car. Nancy, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I mainly have a question about when you were talking about who is the person in the prayer breakfast praying to.
Yeah.
How about if in your mind you're praying to, you know, Jesus Christ and in his name? Can you pray along with the prayer?
Well, okay, let's sort this out. That's a really, really good question, Nancy. Stay on here for a minute.
Okay,
I'm praying to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Christians always ought to.
Okay.
The guy across the table from me is a Muslim. He's praying to Allah. Now, we know Allah is a false god, doesn't actually exist. Exists only in the imagination of those who worship him,
yeah.
Right? So he's really praying to nobody. Now,
right.
It's obvious there, at least at the outset, we're not praying to the same God, right?
Right.
Okay, but let's just say we kind of take the view that in my mind I'm praying to the true God, in his mind. I don't know what he's praying to. Is that praying together? What's that, Nancy? Okay, Nancy's phone's going out. Okay, I ask the rest of you, is that praying together? Oh, no, no, no. They're just praying at the same time. Is prayer this kind of thing? I mean, really, is when we gather together to pray, because the Muslim could stay home and pray, and you could stay home and pray too, but you came together to pray. Do we come together to pray all our own separate prayers to all our own separate gods? Now, the question isn't, can we do it? We certainly can. Should we do it is another question, right? We say, well, his prayer, he can pray to whatever false god he wants to pray to. It doesn't affect me at all. Fine. If you don't care about your neighbor, that's great. Good. Good for you. If you have that little concern about whether or not your neighbor's going to hell, good for you. When you pray with him or alongside him, or I don't even know what to call it, when you do that, what are you telling him? You see, that Muslim may say, I think I'm worshiping the same God you do. You may not believe that, but when you bow your head and pray with him or alongside him or at the same time as him, what are you telling him? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or maybe, prayer is now an entirely civil function. It's not something we do as Christians, it's something we do as citizens. Is that what it is? Prayer is now a civil function. It is fine to have prayer breakfasts wherein people of all different faiths and religions gather together and pray to the same supreme being without regard to whether or not that supreme being is all the same, because this is something we do as Americans rather than as people of faith. And after all, prayer just isn't that big of a deal. It's kind of like saluting the flag. Everyone can salute the flag, regardless of where they stand or what they think America is all about. Because one of the things that makes America great is everybody's kind of got their own idea, and they're free to have their own ideas about what this is all about. Is faith the same? I mean, it is what makes civil religion civil religion. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
The number two official at the Vatican, Cardinal Angelo Sodano, says he expects the Pope's health situation to be better in a few days. Sodano says the Pope could have been treated for the flu at home or even at the Vatican, but he chose to go to the hospital to receive good medical care. The 84-year-old Pope was rushed to the hospital Tuesday night with breathing problems. A cardinal at the Vatican says keeping him hospitalized for now could ward off any complications. Melissa Gray, Rome.
That's the AP report on the Pope's ongoing, it was a health crisis, and now he seems to be turning the corner on the flu. He was suffering from the breathing problems. Whenever this happens, the Pope has been in and out of the hospital for a number of things. He's an elderly man. He has obvious health problems. And any 84, 83-year-old man who got the, probably any of them would go into the hospital for flu, okay? But he can't last forever. And I'm wondering, what do you expect in the next Pope? The first thing I thought when I heard this report, I was driving home from doing the program earlier this week. I heard the report, Pope's in the hospital. I thought, he's going to die. This is it. Now, I'm thinking in terms of radio. I'm thinking, well, this will give us something to talk about for the next couple of days. Who are we going to talk to? Keep my eye on it. This morning, this actually happened to me. Come upstairs. I heard someone refer to the Pope in the past tense on a news program. I only heard the last few minutes of the program, but they were referring to the Pope in the past tense, and I thought, he must have died. I checked, he's still alive. But it will happen sooner or later. What do you expect of the next Pope? What will it be like? Who will this be? Not specifically, who will this be? Who will this Pope be like? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What are your expectations? What are your hopes? Especially our Roman Catholic listeners. What are your hopes? A repeat of John Paul II? Something different? Someone different? A different direction for your church? 27 years, he has pretty much held the line. And some people might say he shaped 21st century Roman Catholicism. What are your expectations? Jim is calling from his car. Jim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, thanks for taking my call. As an elected official in Missouri, I agree with you on this issue. I don't think that it's proper for Christians to participate in a prayer service with others that are praying to who knows what God. I can give you my experience, you know, serving in the Missouri House.
Please do.
We have a prayer service every Thursday morning. I was there this Thursday this morning, and everybody in the room is praying to the same triune God. It is a great way to start our day on Thursdays, and we have Republicans and Democrats alike that are all together. We read from Scripture. We have a message, and then we pray together, pray for each other, pray for our families, and pray for the work that we have ahead of us. And we're praying in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're praying to the triune God. But I would not participate in that prayer service if it was, you know, a multitude of different religions and different gods. Also, we start each session every morning with prayer, and we have two chaplains. We have a Baptist preacher, and we do have a priest. The pastor makes it very definite that he ends his prayer, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. But I can tell you that the Catholic priest does not pray in the name of the triune God, or never mentions the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm in the chamber, you know, because I have to be there, but I'm not participating in that prayer.
Jim, it's great to hear from you. It's Jim Lemke, Missouri Representative Jim Lemke. Sounds like the first incident he was talking about there is a Christian prayer service. Right? It's Christians gathered together. The mutual understanding is that they are brothers and sisters in one faith. Now, they may differ in their political views or even in their denominations, but they're brothers and sisters in one faith praying to the same God explicitly named in terms of the Trinity and prayed to in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a Christian prayer service. Now, it might be politicians doing it before they go in for a session of Congress. That is really irrelevant. Now, what Jim has laid out there, and I'll go to the phone, back to the phones here in just a second. What Jim has laid out there, notice the difference in emphasis. Please, just pay attention for a second and notice the difference in emphasis. It sounds like the emphasis in so many of the prayer breakfast prayer services is upon the fact that we're all Americans, ergo we'll pray together, regardless of our religion. Jim talked about something where we are all Christians, and we pray together regardless of our political differences. Do you see the difference there? One says, okay, look, I'm a Christian first, and that will determine how I pray, to whom I pray, and with whom I pray. The other one, the national prayer breakfast or whatever other incidents that are interfaith, says I'm an American first, and that will determine how I pray and, well, who I pray to and who I pray with is determined by the fact that I'm a citizen. That's the difference between Christianity and American civil religion. Or we could say one of the differences. Scott is calling from his car. Scott, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I listened to your last few comments about Mr. Santorum, what he said in the divine being, and I just started thinking a little bit the events that have happened the past few years. I thought back to the service they had at Yankee Stadium and how people who dared to imply that there was a problem there with the interfaith gathering and how they were labeled in the public square, like, for example, Nazi or fanatic, whatever, and how they were linked to other fanatics, like, i.e., in the Middle East. And the preoccupation of our society to always find someone to blame for problems, you got to wonder, as the true Christians continue to say, you know, no, this isn't right, there's only one way to be saved, there's only one God, you have to start wondering at what point they're going to say, well, you're a fanatic and you need to be taken care of, or they'll start laying the blame for various problems on those people. And I wonder what your thoughts were on that.
Scott, thank you. Well, definitely, there's no doubt about it. The culture is on the side of those who say, what are you making such a big deal of prayer about? Come on, they were just praying. God doesn't care, whoever he may be. The culture's on that side. And so people who want to play fast and loose with something as sacred as prayer, which the last time I checked was not ours to give to God, but God's gift to us. And God gets, he gets pretty ticked when we misuse his gifts. Generally regards that as sin. You know, there are Christians who will read that passage. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't be yoked with unbelievers. And they say, well, okay, that means we shouldn't marry outside the faith. But pray outside the faith? Yahooey! Especially when we get invited by a politician to a prayer breakfast. The people who pray together, the last time I checked, are saying something about their mutual belief. If all we can do is boil it down to a mutual affirmation that there's a divine being, that's hardly enough basis to pray together. Darlene is calling from St. Louis. Darlene, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I pray you and family are well.
Thank you.
I'm a Christian. I pray to Jesus. If I go to a prayer meeting that is multiple religious of other faiths, I still pray to Jesus. So part of me struggles with understanding. Sorry, I got a thing going on here. But part of me struggles with understanding this is wrong for them, even though they are wrong because they are not worshiping the true God of salvation, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Darlene, thank you. Look at it this way. And I think it has to do with who do we confess before men? Now, you might argue, well, everybody's praying to a different God, so maybe I should never pray because somewhere, someplace, someone's praying to a false God. No. I think the locus of this whole conversation ought to be Jesus' words. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. And the question I'm asking is, when we take up a position of prayer next to someone who's praying to a different God, a false God, an imaginary God, at a public prayer breakfast, and we do it and we say, well, I'm praying to my God, they're praying to their God, and never the twain shall meet. Are we confessing Christ to that neighbor? They're confessing a different God. Someone looks in and says, they both have their heads bowed. They both have their eyes closed. They're both saying the same words at the same time. They look like they're praying to the same God. Now you might stop and say, no, I'm just praying. We just happen to be here at the same time. Don't you understand? Whoever confesses me before men. Part of our, it's not just standing up and saying Jesus Christ is Lord. But whatever we do to profess the faith. And I have a hard time seeing how prayer does not amount to a profession of faith. And so we have one faith standing next to another faith with absolutely no distinction being made. And maybe the prayer service is designed in order to blur the distinctions as far as possible. Dennis calls from his car. Dennis, welcome.
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call. Some of it boils down to, I don't know if people really understand what they believe, because I go to Lutheran church and some of the people taking communion next to me feel like they can go to a Catholic church or non-denominational church and take communion there. And it gets to the point where, who am I taking communion with? So the issue even sinks deep within the Lutheran church. So it gets to be a struggle with who you are bowing with.
Dennis, thank you. Now, I don't want to and I understand Dennis's concern, but I don't want to reduce it to saying, well, we can't do anything with anybody else because we never know what they believe. We must go on someone's outward confession. There's someone at the table who says, well, I could just as well be communing with anybody. That's a concern for the pastor. The pastor ought to know that and say, no, you that's not right. Scripture constantly warns us against making it, warns us to make distinctions, between true teaching and false teaching. This is simple. This is an outward profession of faith. If prayer is an outward profession of faith, then let's just give up. It's just a civil function. And if it's just a civil function, then why are we doing it in church? I mean, why? Do we pray because we're citizens, or do we pray because we're Christians? Is what unites us together in prayer the fact that we're all Americans? That's a different religion than the one I've come to know from Holy Scripture. Brett's calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Listening on the internet, Brett, welcome.
Hey, brother, I agree with you totally. I would refer back to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. For though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And I believe that that includes prayer. We have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, just like the early Christians did.
Brett, thank you. Good concluding thoughts from Fort Worth, Texas. All good things come out of Texas. Think about Elijah there on the mountain with the prophets of Baal. He could have made peace in all of Israel, and the king would have stood behind him 100%. Just pray with the prophets of Baal. Don't you know we're all Israelites? Come on, let's have our prayer breakfast up here on the mountain. And the king would have stood behind Elijah. But Elijah, against the king and everyone else, he doesn't pray with them. If anything, he prays against them. Read the account of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Paul goes to Mars Hill. He finds people and he says, I perceive that you are in every way very religious. Let's all pray together. No. He doesn't say, look, we're all Roman citizens. That's what unites us. Let's have a prayer breakfast. No. He draws a clear distinction between the gods they worship and the God he worships. They're just two examples. Lest we turn prayer into something that's just purely a function of the fact that we're all Americans. And if that's the case, then I think we have been remiss in prayer. If that's the case, I think we need to take up residence and pray in, say, the Mormon. We need to go to the Mormon ward houses. We need to go to the Jehovah's Witnesses kingdom halls. We need to go into the... because they're Americans. You going to deny that? We need to go to the Church of Scientology. We need to start praying with them because they're Americans, right? Maybe there is a line drawn someplace. We'll be right back with the third hour of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.